All right. Well, good evening to everyone. And we are on part 7 of spiritual freedom. All right. Now, last week we started looking at some of the external causes of curses. All right. These are curses or causes outside of ourselves, not necessarily things that we have done that have resulted in a curse coming upon us. Now, we looked at, according to Derek Prince, we looked at several things that could, indicate that there could be a curse on our life. When we talk about spiritual freedom, when we talk about being free, even when dealing with a curse, that the curse itself is going to bring a distress, it's going to bring a oppression upon our lives. Now, we could be suffering, we could be going through, struggling, and not know why. We could be struggling, and going through a thing and can't ever seem to conquer it. Right? Why can't I conquer this? And so whenever we have issues that are affecting areas of our lives, there's a possibility. Now, not always. Not everything is not the result of a curse, but there's possibility that there is a curse upon our lives that needs to be broken. All right? Now, remember, all curses are the result of sin. And we talked about that, one of those curses, we say one of the causes are the result of the sins of our parents and our foreparents to the third and fourth generation. Right? But these are known as generational curses. We looked at Exodus, the 34th chapter, and verse 6 and 7 says, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation.'" All right? Now, you could very well be having any one of those seven issues: mental, medical, fertility, marital issues, financial issues, accidents, or family losses. Because of the curses of any one of the 34 parents on your side. Right? Why do I say the 34 parents, right? Remember, your parents, that's two. Your grandparents, right? That's four, right? Your great-grandparents, okay? And your great-great-grandparents, okay? And if you're married, you can also be dealing with a curse from any of your spouse's 34 parents. And God have mercy for those of us who have been married more than once. Because we dealing with the curses of those exes. My God. All right. Now, we don't start looking for generational curses at the first sign of when an issue comes up, you know, out of those seven areas, right? No, the first sign of a medical issue, you know, we're not going to, immediately attribute that to a generational curse. We can't even blame every issue on the devil. Okay? It could be the result of a mistake that we made. It could be the result of an oversight on our part, all right? Or somebody else's oversight. But if the same types of issues can be traced to other members of the family, that's when we need to begin asking God if this is due to a generational curse. Okay? All right? If some of those issues that have been called, right, some of those issues that have been called hereditary are really generational curses, right? Granddaddy had cancer, right? Daddy had cancer. Brothers have cancer, had cancer, right? If we see issues that we can trace through the family line, then that's when we start asking God to show us, Lord, is this the result of some sin in my family line? Is this a result of a generational curse? Okay. Now, we also looked and talked about occult practices. And cult practices being one of the three main causes of a generational curse. I want us to look a little more at occult practices. Turn with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, beginning at the 9th verse. All right? Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, beginning at verse 9, and we're going to read down to verse 12. The word says, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with family spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee." Right? Now, the Lord says, don't learn how to do them. Don't do them. Don't learn how to do them. They are an abomination. God says, I'm going to drive out any that does any of these things far away from you. Now, what is he talking about? What are these things? Making a son or daughter to pass through the fire, that is a high level of witchcraft. All right, that's witchcraft in its highest level. When you are so, when a person, I'm not going to say you, when a person is so committed to Satan that they will offer their son or their daughter as a sacrifice. Now, I know that sounds strange, that sounds archaic, but listen, it is still happening. It is still happening today. All right? This is something that is still practiced that it is so much so that there are books that are dedicated, that are written and dedicated to what is called satanic ritual abuse. Okay? So it may sound far-fetched, but there are people who are today who are practicing witchcraft at the deep level, that not only are they sacrificing animals, offering the blood of animals to Satan, but they will offer their sons and daughters. He says, he talks about divination. And divination is any occult practice, right? It's the practice of seeking knowledge of the future and or the unknown by supernatural means. Anytime we try to get knowledge, try to gain knowledge in any way other than from God, we are practicing divination. That is the occult. He goes on in Deuteronomy 18 to explain divination. He explains it as an observer of times. Right? When we think of an observer observing times, it's, you know, things like the horoscope. Right. Keeping up with astrology. Right. Because the horoscope has to do, right, with, you know, these zodiac, right, and these are all of these, the planets and the stars in astrology is all looking for answers to questions that we have about the past, the present, or the future. God says anyone who is involved in the practice of observing time. Right now, I've had to repent, right, of, you know, observing times. I used to follow the horoscopes. You know, every morning I'd read my horoscope, and people, you know, people nowadays, they'll ask, what's your sign? And depending on, you know, when you were born, you know, okay, well, I'm a Taurus, and so because I'm a Taurus, then that means I'm this type of person. Right? All of that is divination. He says, he talks about enchanters putting enchantments, speaking incantations over a person or a thing. What? For the sake of knowledge or for the sake of power. It is not unusual for someone to either seek after someone, to put, cast a spell on someone. I mean, spells have been cast on boys and girls so that they would fall in love with us. That's enchantment. That's divination, which is an abomination to God. He talks about a witch, someone who practices magic, black magic. Well, these days they call black magic and white magic, but it's all witchcraft. A charmer. And when we talk about a charmer, there are those who we will seek after, or we will follow the advice of people who say that if you have this item in your house, right, it will bring you good luck. Okay? A charm. Anything that you have that is for the purpose of bringing good luck, right? That's a charm. We have to be careful, you know. Not always, but we have to be careful. Even the wearing of a cross around our neck. If we're wearing it for the purpose of warding off evil, that we think that that little piece of gold or that little piece of silver or wood or whatever it's made out of, if we think that that object will ward off evil or bring blessing upon our life, right? That's a charm. Mm-hmm. Okay. That scripture talks about consulters with evil, I'm sorry, with familiar spirits. Now, a familiar spirit is a spirit that has been attached to the family line. All right? That's a demonic spirit that has been connected with the family line, and the familiar spirit knows things about the family, right? And so consulting with familiar spirits is consulting with spirits, right, that can, you know, some people call them spirit guides. Spirits that can reveal things about the family. All right. And listen, the devil can do that, you know, because he's been there. He's been here all the while. He was there with mother and father. He was there with grandmother and grandfather, right? That spirit, you know, if there's a familiar spirit in the family, a familiar, right, spirit that's attached to the family, then it's well aware of the details of the family, and is able to reveal things to us that, you know, we would not have been able to find out ordinarily. But God says anyone who consults with familiar spirits, that's when we have, you know, have had seances. Even in our youth, right? Those childish games, you know, let's call on the spirit of. Or going to a fortune teller, calling the psychic hotline. Right? When we go to people like that, then we are consulting with, right? We're asking them to consult on our behalf, but we are joining ourselves with that demonic world. He talks about a wizard, right? And working powers, right? And he speaks of a necromancer. Now, a necromancy is communicating with the dead to predict the future. All right. Now God says that all of those, that's divination. That is the occult. And all of it is an abomination to him. Now, when God says something is an abomination, it's something that he hates. Any occult practice is a violation of God's first and second commandment, right? Look at Exodus, the 20th chapter, beginning at verse 3, or verses 3 through 5. The word says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's number one. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Right? It's idolatry. God says, I hate it. God commands us to have nothing to do with it. And in Deuteronomy 28, we read that where God says that if we disobey, if we do any of the things that he commanded us not to do, that he would put curses upon us and our seed. So if we or any of our 30 ancestors were involved in any occult practices, we could be dealing with a curse. Now, last week, when I was preparing the lesson, the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance that there were times when I was a teenager. There were times when I was young that I practiced magic, right? I remember going to the library at the school and getting books on how to do magic. I was trying to learn how to be a mind reader, how to practice hypnotism, how to do levitation. And at one point, I do believe that if I didn't, I was very close to making a vow, making a promise, and asking the devil that if he would give me power, right, that I'd serve. And the Holy Spirit brought these things to my remembrance last week. And so last week I started praying, repenting, and asking God to forgive me and to cleanse me and to break every curse. And do you know that I felt a lifting in my spirit and a freedom in my spirit that I have not felt before, ever since then. Now, Jesus has given us the power to break the curses from our lives. Yeah. He's given us the power for us to be free. Jesus wants us to be free. He wants you to be free. Praise God. He died for our freedom. He shed his blood for our freedom. Praise God. Amen. He was wounded for our transgressions, the word says. Right? Bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, first, we need to pray. First, you need to pray and ask God to reveal every sin in your life and in the lives of your foreparents. Now, don't be afraid to do that. All right? Don't be afraid to do that. Don't be afraid for God to show us our sin. Right? I mean, think about it. He's only going to show us things that he already knows. He's already aware of. So it's not, whatever it is, it's not something that God is going to be any angrier about than when we committed it. In fact, amen, it will only bless us. It will only result in your spiritual freedom. So ask God, Lord, show me my sin, any sin in my life, from the time that I was a child up to now, that may have caused a curse to come upon my life. Lord, show me any sin in my parents' or my foreparents' lives that may have caused a curse to come upon my life. And when he does, because he will, he said, if we ask, we'll receive. And if we seek, we'll find. And if we knock, the door will be open. When he does reveal it, if you want to be free, you need to do three things. You need to confess it. You need to repent of it. And you need to renounce it. Now, when we confess a thing, we're admitting to the wrong. We are agreeing that it was wrong, that what we did was wrong. When we renounce it, we are disagreeing with the devil. God, I know it was wrong. I renounce it. I know that it was against you. Not only that I did it, but God, I agree with you, and I'm in disagreement with the devil. Satan, You will not have that over my life again. When we repent, we are turning from the sin back to God. Now, for those sins that you are aware of, I want to invite you to pray this prayer to break a prayer that break a breaking of curses with me. You can repeat this with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that it has always been your plan to bless me, transform me, and lead me into my true identity in you. I come out of agreement with anything false that opposes the Lord Jesus Christ. I come into agreement with you, Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh, led a holy life, conquered sin and death on the cross, and who sits at the right hand of the Father. There is only one Lord and Savior, and it is to you that I pray. If I or any of my family line by any means have come into agreement with or have been subjected to any curses, hexes, spells, incantations, or evil assignments against us, I ask your forgiveness and declare these null and void in the name of Jesus Christ. If any evil spirits have been sent against me or have oppressed me in any way, I cancel their assignments in Jesus' name. I break any hold these curses or assignments have over me. I pray for the protection of Jesus Christ over me and everyone and everything that I hold dear. I ask you to protect us from all sickness, harm, and accidents. In obedience to your command, Lord Jesus, I release to you the person who cursed me or spoke evil over me. I forgive them and reverse the curse by speaking your grace and mercy over them. I bless them and anyone else, known or unknown to me, who has formally or informally cursed me or my family. I bless him or her with the grace to know you. Lord Jesus, in accordance with your word and by the power of your cross and your blood, I take authority over all the power of the enemy. I surrender my will to you and declare you the Lord of my life. I choose to walk in your ways, to forgive myself and those who have sinned against me, and to walk in your path of cleansing and truth. Renew in me a spirit of righteousness and peace. I ask you to heal my memories and cleanse me from all negative words that haunt me. I tune my ears to hear only what you say about me. I am your beloved child, and I choose to live in your loving presence. Thank you, Lord, for your love and protection. Amen. Praise God.